Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Kate Fotopoulos, who is, or has been, studying and teaching in the field of holistic healing and alternative therapies since the mid-70s, and she's currently involved in psychocellular repatterning, which we will hear about in the course of the program. I would like to welcome Kate onto the program. Are you there?
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Now, let me ask you very quickly before you say anything else, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Well, you know, the anglicized version of it is Fotopoulos. I was baptized Ekaterini Anna Fotopoulou, but that's a little hard for most people wrap their mouths around, so Kate is fine.
Oh, that's great. Okay. You never know with names because there is no strict rules about how you pronounce them. Anyway, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
I think one of the first things we have to ask you, obviously, is what is psychocellular repatterning, which we will refer to as PCR in the rest of the program.
Right. It's a remarkable tool for helping people to get clear of old limiting patterns and beliefs. And for me, it's so critical right now with all the acceleration moving toward this, you know, ascension that we're all progressing towards, that we have to be clear, we have to really be listening in order to know exactly what our path is and what next thing we're supposed to be doing. And when we have just old patterns that are clogging up the works, it's like when you have a corrupted program on your computer, PCR helps you to get rid of the old program and replace it with something that's actually going to function better and that will help you to be clearer and to stay on your path more. That's, you know, the 25-cent version of it.
Yes, right. So you talk about old limiting beliefs, but give me an idea. What is a typical situation where you've got old beliefs that need clearing?
Well, I'll just give you an example from a session that I did with one of my clients. During the process of psychocellular repatterning, you start with deep breathing technique and go through a visualization process that grounds you all the way to the center of the earth so that you're well anchored to do this work. And then what usually comes up for people during the course of the work is something that's tied back to either childhood or, for some people, even former lifetimes. And this one woman that I worked with saw a situation in her life from her early childhood. I think she was 3 or 4 years old, where her father had to leave to go off into National Guard service. He was only going to be gone for about 3 weeks, but for a small child that could be a lifetime. And the issue that she was dealing with was, you know, partly feeling alone and abandoned by him, but more so than that, she remembers having the thought when her father left, you know, I wish it were Mom that left because I like Dad better. This woman is now 60 years old. This thought, you know, entered her mind at age 3 or 4, and it was still, you know, eating away at her that there was something horrible about her because she wished her mother had left instead of her father. I mean, it can be such simple, simple things as that, but, you know, when we're children, we don't process things in a rational manner, and we don't understand our world in a way that, you know, would make sense to an adult, and so we carry, you know, either guilt or just things that are creating obstacles for us moving forward in our life because we either felt we did something wrong or we don't deserve whatever we're, you know, trying to achieve. I'll just leave that at that for right now. There's countless numbers of examples of things that can go on like that.
Do you find that sometimes you have to delve deep into a person's subconscious to get to the problem that lies within them?
Well, the beauty of this particular process is it's after you do the breathing and grounding, the process has you just open up to the divine light of healing. If you, you know, see that as the light of and love of God, or, you know, quantum healing, whatever it is. And the beauty of it is that this light will enter through the crown of your head and move through your body, and it will instantly recognize anything that is unlike itself. So any place that there's a block, any place that there's a low frequency vibration, it will stop there. And in the process, wherever the light stops, that's where you work during that particular session. And, you know, and then you just keep doing this in progressive sessions. Most people, you know, it takes anywhere from 4 to 12 sessions to get clear. But it's just, you just know that it's working at exactly the right place for what you need on any given day. And I love that. I completely trust that. And it's worked every single time for every session that I've done, which is great.
That's wonderful, yeah. Now, you apparently use the term light process to reveal the areas where our physical, emotional, mental, and or spiritual energy is stuck. What do you
right.
actually mean by light process?
Well, you just... after you do the grounding, you literally visualize the top of your head opening up and golden light pouring into your body through the crown of your head. And and then you just watch the light as it's progressing through your body. And, you know, say it may stop at your throat, it may stop at your heart, it might stop at your right knee, wherever it is. You take that area where it stopped and you do a process of surrounding that area, wrapping it in light, and then asking it to open up and reveal what's inside. And you keep going through that process of wrapping in light, opening and revealing, wrapping in light, opening and revealing, till you get to the place where the person just kind of goes, you know, okay, this is where the issue is. And it almost always involves, you know, some kind of incident from childhood, inner child work, and then during the process of clearing, you allow this energy that's the old stuck thing, that you as the adult go in there and clean it all up and get rid of it and blow away anything that might be holding you into these past energies. And then you allow that space that's been cleared out to be filled with the light and to be healed and cleansed. And it's just amazing how you feel not only mentally clearer and emotionally clearer, but it works on people who have physical ailments as well. The woman who developed this whole technique is Sarah Honeycutt. And she's actually been working with a client who has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, who was actually unable to speak for, you know, 4 years and has now started talking again through this clearing process. So I'm just absolutely amazed at how easily it works and on how many different levels it works. And I just think we need all the tools we can get right now to get cleared out if we're going to be really doing our anointed path, our destiny, our work that we're here to do in this life. So.
Yeah. Where children are concerned, if they've been abused or harmed, is your process one of getting them to accept it without feeling any guilt or whatever in that connection?
Well, I don't work with children, per se, but are you talking about adults who were abused
as
children?
Yeah, I'm talking about adults who have been harmed or abused as children, and that is where they're stuck.
Yeah, and it's not so much about accepting it at all. It's about, you know, being able to take back your power that you didn't have as a child. Sarah, the woman who developed this, has a just horrific childhood story. She was actually the child of people who were into a satanic cult and demonic worship and was used in ritual abuse types of situations and was put into child prostitution. And, I mean, you just can't imagine much uglier of a life than she had. And, this whole system for clearing came through, you know, her sort of angelic guidance and, you know, to save her from clinical depression and suicidal type tendencies. So I have yet to work with anybody who's had that severe of a background. But it's not about accepting what happened to you. It's about the adult taking charge and allowing the child to know that he or she is safe now, that you will never let anybody do anything to harm them again, and that you go back as the adult and you just let whoever it was who was the abuser, just let them have it, you know, whether it's yelling at them, you know, kicking them, blowing them up, whatever it takes. So it's not about acceptance. It's just like, this was not, it's not fair, it's not right for a small child, and then you allow the child to create his or her ideal, safe, beautiful space that they can live in your heart, that, you know, and that you will always be there for them, and that they no longer have to, you know, have any fear about anyone harming them in any way.
Right. Okay. You mentioned that some people even go to past life issues. Can you give us an example of that?
Yes. I did the session with my partner, actually, who saw when he went into this space and was opening to the light, he saw a small boy in a sort of military type uniform, and I said to him, his name is Jeffrey, and I said, so was this boy called Jeffrey or Jeff back then? And he goes, no, he was called Gustav. Who's Gustav? And, you know, he was very surprised. And it was, you know, a small child who had a very controlling father who had sent him off to a, like, military boarding school. And so he cleared through things about being, you know, sent away by his father when he, you know, he really missed his father and things like that. And that just kind of popped up. Another woman did a clearing on what she believes was a former lifetime where she was on a ship that was supposed to be carrying some very precious cargo from one place to another, and she was actually stabbed and killed while she was in charge of the ship, and she felt like she had let everyone down because she didn't get the cargo to where it was supposed to be, you know, even though there was no way for her to predict that somebody was going to, you know, ambush her and kill her. She was a he back then in that lifetime, but, you know, that's a couple of incidents. But you can see how those kind of energies would still play out in someone's current life. You know, like if you feel like you had shirked your responsibilities, or not shirked, but let down a whole bunch of people because you couldn't have predicted that someone was going to kill you, but that you might be playing out in this lifetime things where you never feel you're good enough, you don't think you're up to the task, you feel like you're going to be letting people down. So this kind of clearing helps to just remove those energies from your present day field of consciousness so that you can be more powerful and that you can do the things you want to do.
Yes. I take it goes without saying that in view of your beliefs there, that you do believe in reincarnation.
I personally do, but, you know, you don't have to believe in reincarnation for this work to, you know, to be effective for you. I just spent 4 months in India studying Ayurvedic medicine, and so I was very steeped in all of the traditions from, you know, the Hindu beliefs, and they seem to make sense to me. I mean, the idea that, a friend of mine says, you wear this meat suit for a while and then you're gone, and that would be all that there is, seems kind of silly.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to ask you a bit more about your trip to India a little bit later.
Oh, sure.
Now, you say that once you're clear of your problems or where you've become stuck, that it can also benefit you in the way of your finances, your work, relationships, and creativity. Can you explain how it moves into those areas?
Sarah has always said that you know when you're clear because your life just becomes magical and, you know, you are experiencing miracles every day and, you know, it's just uncanny how things fall into place almost effortlessly. And, you know, your energy improves, your health improves, your creativity improves. I mean, every single aspect of your life benefits from this clearing work.
So I guess what you're really saying is that you bring yourself into some type of harmony and balance, and therefore your life proceeds on a road that is also in harmony and balance, and things work out well for you. Is that the idea?
Well, that's it, and you're vibrating at a higher frequency, and you know, it's very, very clear. It's the difference between having a staticky radio signal and one that's absolutely pure, so you can hear every single tone. And, you know, the clearer you are, the more you're resonating at a kind of level where you attract things at that same frequency to you. So, you know, to me, it's just amazing. You just become a magnet. you attract the right people, the right finances and resources, and, you know, everything just sort of falls into your lap. It's been happening in my life just so much that I'm my head's spinning, you know, how quickly things are just falling into place, and, you know, how the messages are coming through so much louder and stronger, and and I don't question them at all now because I just know that they're right.
It sounds as though once you get your life in order and you're on this nice sort of balanced pathway, that the law of attraction seems to work better for you. Maybe you take a more positive approach to your life, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the law of attraction is just, it kicks in at such a level that, if you're not ready for it, you'll be reeling.
Right. Now, you've mentioned that when people are cleared, I believe I got this correctly, that they're aware that they have gifts to offer the world. Now, how is it that PCR reveals to a person what their gifts are? I mean, is that the idea that in the course of clearing they find out what they've got to offer?
I don't know so much that it's in the course of clearing you find that out, but as you get clear, when you sit and do your meditation practices or prayer or whatever you do for creative connection, the messages just come through like very, very strongly about this is what you need to do, this is who you need to go see, this is what you're supposed to be doing, and your path becomes revealed to you. It's not so much in the process of the therapeutic work necessarily, although it can come up that way for some people. I'm working with someone who got a very clear message about something about her music and where she was supposed to send it to and that she was supposed to do a certain song, and so she's in the process of doing that right now, and that actually happened during a session. But I think for a lot of people it's just that in the way that your mind is quiet instead of being preoccupied with all sorts of, you know, busyness and sort of monkey mind energy, that's when the thoughts come through that help you to see what it is that you're here to be doing.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed, yes. Now, I can well understand that people that are impressed by PCR choose to take up training so that they can practice the techniques with others. Is that why you're in the process of creating a ministerial school?
Well, that's part of it. One of the things that came to me as a result of my work doing this was my guidance came through that I'm supposed to be helping people who have felt a really strong calling to what I'm referring to as the healing ministries. Now, that could be anything from hands-on healing to counseling work to healing arts to, you know, whatever it is. But that part of my path is helping people who may not have specific training or credentials or certifications, but who know that they're meant to be serving others in their process of healing, you know, giving them a space and people of like mind where they can practice their God-given talents. They can learn more, they can share, they can, you know, enhance the techniques that they're using. Just, it's really to create a space for people to kind of come out of the closet as healers. I was the director of a massage school and have worked in, you know, specific training programs that give people certificates and diplomas and things like that. But there's thousands of people out there who have had a call to be in the healing ministries, but they're just kind of waffling around and it's like, well, you know, I'm a secretary right now. How can I be a healer? Or I don't have any background or training, but I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. And just everybody that I've talked to about that has just said, oh, my goodness, yes, I've been wanting to do something like that. You know, I want to hear more about this. So that's part of what's coming together. And also one of the things that has just kind of magically fallen into my lap is that there's someone in Reno, Nevada, where I'm living right now, who wants to start an Ayurvedic clinic and wants to be able to offer classes in holistic health and healing to the community. And, you know, I've just been kind of given carte blanche to design a whole center and make it the way I would like it to be. So we're going to be doing some healing for people who want to be healed, some training for people who want to be healers, and we'll see where it's going to go.
Yeah. So how far away are you from being able to say that you finally set up your ministerial school?
Well,
is that very far in the future?
This center that's going to be opening in Reno is probably a couple months away. That we have the space, the building is purchased, and it's a matter right now of ordering equipment and supplies and and painting the walls and doing all those kind of good things. But it's ready to go. So.
Right. You're quite advanced in actual fact then, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's an angel job. You know, I just showed up at the right place and spoke to the right people, and they arranged everything else. I could never have done it this quickly if I had tried to do it on my own.
Oh, I know. Well, I think we can all tell stories about things that have happened to us, and we often use the expression coincidence, but I think we know at this stage that it was what was meant to be.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, you know, what someone might call a coincidence, you know, it's just like you've been preparing for this for a long, long time, and it's just that right at that moment the energy is aligned perfectly and the right person crossed your path, or the right phone call was made, the right card was given. So it's just beautiful the way it works that way. And I'm just so grateful and in such awe of how my life is unfolding and the lives of the people around me. It's just this continual opening, and it just gets more beautiful and more joyful and more abundant with each passing day. I just can't say enough about how wonderful that is. And I just want to facilitate that kind of opening for anybody who wants to experience that.
That's great. Right, let's move on to your Ayurvedic experience. You apparently spent 4 months in India. Now, what is that particular therapy?
Well, Ayurveda is probably the original holistic health field in the whole world. It dates back, I mean, people say anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 years. The time isn't really important. But it's just Ayurveda that loosely translates to, the art of living or the knowledge of longevity. And it includes everything from meditation and yoga and diet and nutrition, it encompasses all aspects of your life. When I work with an Ayurvedic client, you know, our very first session is going to be anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours because I talk to them about everything in their lives, from, you know, how their sleep cycles are to what's going on in their work life and their relationships and their family. And the biggest thing is, you know, what is their passion in life? What makes them excited to get up in the morning? What, you know, really makes them want to be alive and doing what they're doing in the world? And Ayurveda very clearly states that, you know, when you're in tune with that and aligned with your passion and purpose and doing what you're here on the planet to do, you're going to be healthy. And the farther removed you are from that, the more you experience depression and physical symptoms. And so, you know, it's not just about a diagnosis that's going to say, well, you've got, you know, liver problems, so take these herbs and, you know, we'll clear it up. It's just like, well, what created this imbalance in you in the first place? You know, the symptom is like the farthest piece down the road that you're dealing with. It's what is out of balance that needs to be restored to harmony, and that's how the system works.
Right. You've said that how you eat is just as important as what you eat. Is that based on the Chinese idea that you treat the person and not the disease? In other words, you keep yourself healthy.
The Chinese medical system actually grew out of Ayurveda. Ayurveda was in India first, and then the acupuncture, the pulse diagnosis comes from the Ayurvedic pulse diagnosis, the use of herbs, all of that. So they're very, very similar in their philosophies and orientation. I think, in this country, more people are familiar with the Chinese medicine than they are with the Ayurvedic, although Ayurveda is becoming, you know, much better known here, especially through people like Deepak Chopra and his work. And so folks have at least heard about the different principles of Ayurvedic medicine. But they all come down to, you know, a similar construct with the elements, you know, the space, air, fire, earth, water, that combine in different ways to create our physical bodies, to create the food we take in, to create everything in our environment. And so if you know about your own constitutional makeup, then you will also know what foods are going to be supportive for you and what foods will aggravate your imbalances. The same thing with activities, the same thing with, you know, even styles of exercise. There are certain people who need to do vigorous exercise, and there are certain people who need to do very slow, soothing, and rhythmic type exercise. And, you know, this is where a lot of Western doctors, I think, you know, fall short of the mark, because they kind of say if you have X symptom, you do Y treatment, and it doesn't work for everybody.
Right. Now, explain what it means when it says how you eat. Do you actually mean the way you process your food or how often you eat?
Well, both of those. You know, in Ayurveda, food is considered medicine, and the consciousness with which you eat is so important. In the United States, and, you know, probably a lot of Western Europe as well, food has just become, you know, almost a nuisance. And, you know, there's fast food, everything, and people are microwaving their foods, and they are eating while they're checking their email and their voice messages on the phone or looking at the paper. And the beautiful thing, well, the whole time I was in India, was just the reverence with which food was raised and prepared and consumed. And, you know, you're meant to eat with, you know, no distractions in a very peaceful place, eat slowly, you know, eat your main meal of the day in the middle of the day, which, you know, many cultures still do, but we've kind of, you know, pushed that aside because people are at work, and if they grab anything, you know, they take maybe 15 minutes to half an hour to shovel in food. They don't even chew it and taste right. it anymore. In the Ayurvedic tradition, food is prepared fresh for each meal. They don't keep leftovers. They don't freeze things. They don't reheat things. You know, the whole time I was there, we ate, you know, three meals a day that were fresh, organic, out of the garden. They would literally go out and pick the food, take it to the kitchen, and it would be on your plate half an hour later. And I can't even begin to describe how delicious the simplest things were. You know, broccoli soup, but the broccoli just came fresh in out of the garden, and it's just, people would ooh and ah over every platter that was brought in, and they were just very, very, very simple meals, but they were delicious beyond any description because they had energy in them, and they were prepared by cooks in the kitchen who were chanting mantras and singing while they were preparing the food. And, you know, and then you would say a prayer at the beginning of every meal before you picked up your fork or spoon, but basically it stated that, you know, the food is God, food is Brahma, you know, the taste of, you affirm the fact that this is divine, and you're taking the divine into the divine. And, you know, if you stop and recognize that, you know, even if some food is not of the highest vibration, it will not harm you, because you just ask that it be transmuted, and then know that this is supporting your physical being for the work that you're here to do. Mm. The whole consciousness around food and eating is so different. And I found people would just, you know, lose weight effortlessly just because they're actually tasting their food, they're chewing their food, they're not, you know, talking and watching television and listening to the radio while they're eating. It just makes such a difference. And you really come to understand that, you know, the food has as much consciousness in it as the person you're sitting next to at the table. And we are so dishonoring of that in so many ways in our culture because we, you know, well, we know the kind of food that so many people eat. It's crazy.
Yeah. It sounds as though there is a very good case for being a vegetarian, but also eating as many raw foods as you can.
There's, you know, there's a whole school of raw foods, you know, for health benefits. In India, they don't do so much raw food. It depends on one's constitutional type as well. Certain constitutional types can do fine with raw foods. Other constitutional types really need to have cooked foods and foods that are easy on the digestive system. So I know several of my friends are absolute raw food enthusiasts, and it's great if you can do that. Certain times of year it's harder. In the winter time, if you're in a very cold climate, raw foods don't go as well as, you know, if you're in a tropical climate, you can eat raw foods all year round. But there's certain times of year, especially if you're a constitutional type that has the air and space qualities, you need something that's more grounding, or you just start, you know, experiencing nervous system disorders and headaches and things like that. So I don't believe that there's any one particular system that works across the board for every single person. And the beauty of Ayurveda is that it's completely personalized. You know, there are no two people who would have exactly the same prescription, if you would call it that, for health. Everything is dependent on exactly what's going on for you and what the combination or proportions of the different elements are that are operating in your system at any given time.
Right. It seems to me that in bygone days, when people sat down in the Western world and blessed their food before they ate it, they probably had a good idea there, perhaps without even realizing what they were doing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the obligatory grace before meals for so many people has just become kind of a vacant recitation of words, and people don't even know why they're doing it, except, you know, maybe they're invoking the presence of God. But the idea that you're actually offering thanks for every bit of energy that went into creating this living stuff that now has been transformed and is sitting on your plate, that you're going to take into yourself and do more transformations to have it nourish all the systems in your body. It's just, most people don't take enough time to even let that thought, you know, go through to process.
Yeah. I must admit, I do eat my food slowly, but I also sometimes watch television while I'm eating it, and you shame me now by telling me about that.
Well, you know, every once in a while I do something like that too, but I notice that I don't digest as well, or the food does, it just doesn't have the same effect. You know, if you're eating while you're doing one or two or seven other things, what you're basically telling your body is, you know, oh, well, this isn't important, you know. I'm throwing this stuff down my throat, but all this other stuff that I'm doing is really what's important. So the digestion doesn't happen properly, the assimilation doesn't happen properly, the absorption doesn't happen properly, and so you might eat a fabulous meal, but if you're feeling anxious or angry or preoccupied, those nutrients do you no good because they're not going to be retained by your body in the same way as if you were really paying attention to what you were doing.
Yeah. I read that you feel that within the next 5 to 10 years, we'll see a recognition and legalization of the Ayurvedic hospitals. Has something like that already started? I mean, is it being used?
Well, you know, I think the movement is slowly creeping into the American society. I think Ayurveda is more accepted by Europeans. When I was in India, many of the people who came to the hospital where I was studying were European. Now, that may just be that Europe is closer to India than the United States is, but I do think that there are more and more people being trained in Ayurveda, even in this country, every year, and the principles are coming to be more utilized within the holistic health field, whether someone specifically calls themselves an Ayurvedic practitioner or not. The principles are sound, and they're being used by many different types of healthcare professionals. And I have a very strong sense. I mean, just the way that even chiropractic or acupuncture, if you think, you know, 20, 30 years ago, these were not commonly accepted forms of medical care. And, in fact, people thought the chiropractors were quacks, and they thought that acupuncturists, yeah. I mean, you know, you might as well be selling snake oil. But now, I mean, people don't think twice about seeing a chiropractor or getting acupuncture for different conditions. So I think in that same sense, Ayurveda is, you know, slowly working its way into, I don't know if you'd want to call it the mainstream or not, but I really do think it's going to be more and more accepted. And I have this, you know, hope or fantasy, you might call it, with the change in administration in Washington, where they're really going to be looking at revamping the whole healthcare delivery system, that something like Ayurveda, that's very cost effective, that has very few side effects, you know, it's not like people who are playing around with pharmaceuticals and, you know, we kill more people in hospitals by the drugs we give them. And there, usually the worst thing that happens in Ayurveda is that you give them an herb and it doesn't work, so you try a different combination, but it's not going to hurt them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all for natural healing, I must say. Now, you're a lady of various experiences, but one that caught my eye is that you also do Hakomi and trauma therapy. Perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Hakomi and what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
And trauma therapy.
Oh, trauma therapy, yes. Sorry, yeah. I'm not used to your accent. I used to be used to that when I lived in Europe. But Hakomi work is body-centered psychotherapy. It was a therapy that was developed by a man named Ron Kurtz that kind of combines principles of Buddhist mindfulness with Gestalt therapy and other forms of working on oneself. But it's a process, again, that takes you through self-awareness and allowing a person to get into a state where they are very mindful and conscious of, you know, their breathing, their body sensations, and then you might say a phrase or a sentence and just ask them, where do they feel that in their body? And if they repeat that, the sensation change? Does it move? The trauma therapy that I work with was developed by Stephen Levine, it has to do with going back to whether it was a physical trauma or an emotional trauma, having the client tell the story just to the point where they trigger some kind of a feeling sense about it, and then you drop the story and just follow the sensations and see where they go in the body. And again, it's almost magical that when you follow the sensations, you go through this wave of, you know, things intensify and sometimes get almost painful, and then the wave subsides and it washes away. And you piece by piece go through the bits of trauma that are trapped in the body, and it's very, very similar to the principles of the psychocellular repatterning. In PCR, when you're doing the technique with someone, you get to the point, say if you're as an adult talking to the young child who had a traumatic experience, you have that child tell you about it just to the point where they can feel either the fear, the anger, the pain, whatever it was, and then, you know, you whisk them out of that. But you have to touch, it's like the trauma entered and got stuck in the body through the feeling, through the emotion. So in order to release it, you have to go back and at least tap into it long enough so that you can feel that feeling, and then it can be discharged. Animals do this naturally. They, you know, when they are traumatized, if you've watched, you know, a cat that's trapped a mouse or something and has been playing with it, and, you know, after the cat decides it's through with playing with the mouse, it walks away, and the mouse sits frozen on the floor for several minutes and then slowly starts this process of kind of shaking, you know, and the whole body starts vibrating, and it just shakes out the trauma and then goes back on with its life. Or a bird that has accidentally flown into a clear glass window and is stunned, you know, before it is able to fly again, it goes through this whole shaking process. But we as humans, because we process things through our minds, we will tend to rationalize things or come up with reasons why it's not as bad as, you know, all that, and we should get over it, and one thing or another, but we don't let whatever it was process through our body. We think about it, but we don't feel it. And so these kind of energies are just trapped literally in the tissues, in the nervous system. And so the trauma therapy work or the PCR work just helps to unlock that by touching into it, kind of activating it, and then allowing it to release. it's kind of like if you've got just gunk stuck on your pipes and in your plumbing system, and you put something in there that will loosen it and then wash it away. That's sort of the way these systems work. It loosens these things that were being held tightly in place and blocking the free flow of the water through the pipes, basically.
So these are all therapies that you are still teaching.
Yes. And just, you know, helping people to use them so that, you know, they can release anything that's been blocking them from, you know, having a full and joyful life. I do want to mention a couple things that I have found really helpful in terms of the clearing and accelerating process. There's a man by the name of Brian DeFlores, and that's B-R-Y-A-N and D-E-F-L-O-R-E-S, and his website is briandeflores.com. He is someone who had an astounding transformational experience about 12 years ago and has now become a teacher, and he has some amazing artwork that after this experience that he had. He was a truck driver, basically, and had an awakening one morning and got a download of all of the skills and knowledge he had had from previous lifetimes, and started doing these fantastic, like, fifth dimensional drawings that are guided by, you know, ascended masters and angels and whatnot. But his website has all of these beautiful pictures on it, and you can order these accelerators that will literally help you accelerate your clearing process. And he also gives teleseminars about once a month, where you can sign up for it and you phone into a number, and he sends energy transmissions through the seminar to anybody who's on the call with him, and then he does some online seminars as well. And then there's someone that I found out about through Brian, whose name is Daniel Holeman, H-O-L-E-M-A-N, whose website I believe is called awakenvisions.com, another incredibly gifted artist who has just brought through these paintings that, I mean, you just look at them. I was flipping through his galleries of paintings, and I went into an altered state of consciousness just looking at the paintings. They emanate light, and it's transformative just to look at this artwork. And I'm sure there's, you know, hundreds of people around who are doing similar things, but these two are so pure and so clear that I cannot recommend them highly enough. They're absolutely amazing.
Well, I would certainly like to follow that up and look at Brian's website. Would you like to spell that out again in case some people missed the opportunity to write that down?
Yes, yes. Brian with a Y, B-R-Y-A-N, D-E, F as in Frank, L-O-R-E-S, briandeflores.com. And then Daniel's website is, I think, awakenvisions.com.
Yeah, or you can his Google surname, Daniel you Holman. Said, was H-O-L-M-E-N, was it?
H-O-L-E-M-A-N.
H-O-L-E-M-E-N. Okay, good. Fine.
Yeah, and they're just amazing.
Yes, I'd love to see those. I'll mention them when I write up the archive report for BBS. Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you for helping someone else get a bit of publicity here.
You know, there are so many tools that work really well, and it's just, I think we all need to share every resource that we have.
Absolutely,
I'm sitting right next to me is the card deck from Doreen Virtue of Ascended Masters.
Oh, yes.
You know, and there's just, if, you know, I always say, if you're open to it, the yellow pages can be your oracle. You know, you just ask for guidance, and something is going to show up for you. But when there are things that are so powerful that have just, you know, I feel like they've kicked me up, you know, and saved me decades of time in my own transformation process. I definitely want to tell other people about them.
Yes. I've read quite a bit of Doreen's work. That is a name that's quite familiar to me, I must admit. Now, before the program, somebody emailed me and they said, does Kate have a website? And I couldn't find one.
The website is radianthealthnow.org.
Right,
and it's actually, if they wait about two more weeks, there's going to be a whole new set of stuff on there. You know, websites are always under reconstruction, and I'm currently away from home in some place where I don't have computer connections. I wanted to put up more information about the core empowerment work, the psychocellular repatterning. If people, Sarah Honeycutt, who taught me this technique, her website is coreempowerment.com, and I think she's going to have more information up there about her training. She does a 4-day training about every 2 or 3 months, and she's also training me to become one of the teachers of this particular technique, so that I'm going to be traveling around to different cities. Right now it's only offered in Reno.
Right, now let me read back your own website address to make sure I've got it correct, and then our listeners will know. It's Radiant Health Now, which is all printed all as one word, .com. Is that correct?
.org.
Oh, .org. Okay. Well, that's obviously as well to check that. Okay.
Okay.
That's great. That'll enable people to find out a little bit more about you.
It mostly has the Ayurvedic information on it right now, and I'm adding to it the core empowerment work. But there's some basic, you know, simple things and principles about Ayurveda and hints for getting better sleep and things about eating. So people can feel free to email me directly if they have questions. And my email address, it's ayurvedakate@gmail.com, and I'll spell out Ayurveda. It's A-Y-U-R, V as in Victor, E-D-A, and my name, kate@gmail.com. And I'm happy to answer questions for people or to help refer them to folks in their area. You know, I travel quite a bit myself, but, you know, sometimes there's somebody who's in a state that I don't get to, and then I will do everything in my power to look up good resources for them. One great thing about the psychocellular repatterning, it can be done over the phone. My first two sessions were over the phone, and it works just great. So that's a real benefit to this process, is you don't even have to do it in person. So that gives access to anyone who has a phone line.
Right. And would you give out your telephone number then?
Sure. People who want to call me, my cell phone is 303-803-4615.
Great. Again, I will put that in my archive report in case people have missed it.
Sure, that's great. Absolutely.
Do you have any DVDs, CDs, or books out?
You know, it's funny. I have been an editor for a million years, and I help everybody else get their books out, and it's like the shoemaker's children who are, you know, barefooted. My books are sitting in notebooks somewhere in a storage unit, and I don't have anything published as of now, but several people have been pushing me to get it together and get the books out, so we may have something coming. With the way everything else is accelerating in my life, I would not be surprised if I have a book done by not the end of this year, but maybe the end of next year.
All right, you're getting there slowly.
Yeah, and what I'm hoping to do is start putting out a you know, at least a quarterly newsletter, possibly a monthly newsletter for people about the psychocellular repatterning work, about Essential oils. I also teach classes in using essential oils, both for meditative practices and for health and healing. And so, you know, if people want to email me and just say what they're interested in, I will get them as much information as they will want to handle.
So in time, they will be able to subscribe to your newsletter directly from your site, I take it.
Right.
Right. Well, look, it's been extremely interesting to talk to you. I've never failed to be amazed at how many different approaches there are to the subject of our lives and how we can improve them. And often people are arriving at the same solutions, if you like, but following different paths. So it's very interesting. Have you got a final message for our listeners?
Just whatever brings you the most joy in your life, follow that wholeheartedly, because that's going to bring you to health, it's going to bring you on the path you're supposed to be on. It's just, you know, Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss, bliss, joy, whatever word works for you. But if you're not feeling enthusiastic and excited and happy, look for what needs to be changed. I know that's an old message, but it's a true one for me.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. Kate, I'm taking the last minute of the program to tell our listeners what's coming up in the next couple of weeks. So thank you very much for coming onto the program. It's been very interesting, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, I've absolutely had a great time talking with you. Thank you so very, very much.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Right,
and blessings and much love to all your listeners.
Yes, thank you. I'll mention that next Friday there will be an archive recording replayed from June this year, a lady called Toni Petrinovic. The week after that, I have a pre-recorded program by Caroline Corey. And she is a teacher of consciousness studies, spirituality, and metaphysics. And she's also a founder of what she calls the Omnium Method, which, of course, is explained in the program. And if I may then go a further week ahead to the 9th of January, I have a lady who needs little announcing, Susie Ward, the mother of Matthew, whose messages are greatly look forward to. So, hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for being with me. God bless you all.